Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. There's new research out today that puts a dollar value on how much the opioid epidemic is costing the Massachusetts economy. The Massachusetts Taxpayers Foundation estimates that the state loses more than $2.5 billion, with a B, dollars a year in business productivity. The study found that almost 33,000 people could not work over the last 7 years because of opioid addiction. And of course, that's a major problem when the job market is tight. Joining us to talk about this is Julie Burns, Executive Director of the nonprofit Rise Massachusetts, which works on dealing with the opioid epidemic, and Rise funded this study. Julie, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me on.
So what stood out for you from this research? Were they surprising? Were these numbers surprising at all to you?
I think there's been some national research that has, you know, sort of led us to our interest in finding out what was happening at the state level. So I don't think these numbers are a surprise to many people, but they certainly put all of the information in one place. And I think when you look at all the data together, it can be quite shocking.
As we said at the beginning, more than $2.5 billion a year in lost business productivity. Is that the number that stands out to you? Or what sort of did you look at and say, wow, that's bigger or different than what I thought?
I think the level of absenteeism and presenteeism is so interesting. You know, the number of people who are currently at their desks every day doing their jobs that are either dealing with opioid use disorder themselves or may have a family member who's struggling. We hear stories so often about people who may have had a child who'd overdosed during the night, and they were taken to the ER, and they had to get up and go to work the next day and didn't feel comfortable talking about it in the workplace. So I think the amount of people who are suffering directly and indirectly was a bit of a surprise to me.
So these numbers are not just talking about folks who have a substance use disorder. This is also the family members and the loved ones of those who are struggling as well.
That's absolutely correct.
How do you measure that exactly? You know, I mean, how do you look at that and measure what folks are going through and how that might be affecting their job performance? It seems like a difficult thing to kind of put a value on.
I think a lot of this was quite difficult to put a value on, and that is one byproduct of this report, is that it highlights the need for better data around this crisis and how it's affecting individuals and their families.
What about stigma? I imagine that this is touchy territory here for both employers and employees. On the one hand, you might have employers saying, hey, this isn't really my business. It's not my place. I employ somebody to be productive for me. And if they are productive or appear to be productive, it's not my business what they need to do to get there. And on the other hand, it's an issue of privacy. On the part of an employee who may not want their employer to know about what is going on. And if it doesn't necessarily affect the bottom line, they may think it's none of their employee's business. I mean, how do you sort of walk between those two things?
I think, you know, you're hitting it right on the head. These are really complicated, sticky issues for people. But I think it's important for employers to understand what's happening in their workforce. And they can do that while protecting the privacy of the people that work for them. They can work with their health plan provider to look at de-identified data to identify the prevalence and incidence of OUD in their workplace. They can provide or design employee health benefits that allow people to get the treatment they need while protecting their privacy. I think you're right. It's hard for all sides, but given the numbers that we're talking about and the impact that this is having on our workforce and our economy, it's time for everybody to have real honest conversations about this.
And what about those businesses that really penalize people if there's any sort of indication that there is substance use at all, let alone a substance use disorder that might require treatment?
Well, you know, I can't speak to the legal sort of part of what employers can and can't do for their employees because it's so specific to each industry. But, you know, people need to be protected, and if they have opioid use disorder, which is a disease, they should be able to seek treatment. They should not be prohibited from treatment. And, you know, opioid use disorder is a treatable disease, and it doesn't preclude people from working.
You know, one of the industries in Massachusetts that's been hardest hit by the opioid epidemic is the fishing industry. Mm-hmm. Some estimates in the state suggest that those in the fishing industry are five times more likely to die of an opioid overdose than those in other occupations. And earlier today, we reached out to J.J. Bartlett, mm-hmm. who's president of the Fishing Partnership Support Services, and he said his group is doing several things to try to deal with the opioid epidemic and to help people in the fishing industry. And I have a bit of tape that I'd like to play right now that you can listen to. Let's listen.
We've provided 150 fishermen with Narcan training. We've gotten Narcan on 81 vessels. We do ergonomic training so that fishermen can learn how to do their job safely and with fewer injuries. We provide safety and survival training for fishermen. We're designing a smart recovery support group that's run by fishermen for fishermen. And we've also worked with the Coast Guard, who until recently wasn't allowed to carry Narcan on its vessels. And now they are.
So that's J.J. Bartlett with the Fishing Partnership Support Services. Julie, he's talking about what's happening in the fishing industry. But I'm wondering, do you see other industries taking steps like this? And does this study out today make specific recommendations about what businesses might do?
Yes. I think what the Fishing Partnership has done should be considered the gold standard. They clearly understand their constituency, which is quite unique, and had unique needs. And, you know, if you're on a boat and you overdose, you're obviously going to have a solution to that. And I think JJ and his team have figured out how to get Narcan onto boats and train people how to do it. They also have done an amazing job hiring health recovery coaches who can speak to the fishermen, you know, sort of in their own language. They recognize them, they know them, they know sort of what they're dealing with every day. So I think that's a great example of how each of these solutions has to be tailored to the specific industry. The Carpenters Union has also done extraordinary work designing programs, through their EAP and also educational programs for job sites. Again, getting Narcan to job sites and getting folks trained on Narcan, and to recognize the signs of overdose so that they can help those folks who are on a job site and may get themselves into trouble.
Julie Burns, Executive Director of RISE Massachusetts. A link to the study detailing the economic costs of the opioid epidemic is available at our website, radioboston.org. Julie, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks again.